Hey everybody, this is Ruthie Wren again, and welcome back to Defining Kinks, my hopefully awesome fun podcast that you're all still enjoying, where I talk about kinks and I have guests and we just hammer it out for better or for worse. Today I have the very sweet and very delightful Crimson Songbird. How are you today, Songbird?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's good. A bit chilly and apartment issues. But
we've had snow.
I heard you guys have been having snow. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of snow.
It's been great. It's been fun. I love snow. Don't hate it at all. Now I don't have to walk through it every day.
Yeah, it's yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, I think are you being sarcastic? Because it sounds like maybe.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, no, it's a lot of people. I have a lot of friends in the UK and some of them have just been delighting in the pretty, you know, snow and things like that. And then some have just been absolutely miserable. And I'm like,
and some people don't have children.
Exactly. Right.
No to snow.
Yeah, I think it's pretty aesthetically for a lot of scenes, but practically, yeah. I think it's too. I get cold and I get miserable very easily and whiny. So
yeah,
I'm usually a no for me.
I think it would be better if I didn't have to go to work, like if I was properly locked down.
Could just enjoy it if you wanted to. Like, yeah,
a lot of people in my country are right now, but I'm not. I still have to leave my home.
So, if you're forced to go out into it, that's already a no.
A very big no.
Well, hopefully it'll be a nice spring and summer coming. Hopefully not too hot for you guys.
Yeah, there. Well, I mean, I like heat every now and again. We don't get it a lot over here. So.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully then. Hopefully have some warmth coming your way.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I love this very British thing you've done. It's a very British tradition to talk about the weather. That's just like a classic opener. It is.
Yeah.
It's a very treasured pastime.
I find the more that I talk to people in the UK and make more friends, I find that most conversations I start that way. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like
number one conversation topic.
Number one. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Well, speaking of warmth, we're going to talk about a pretty fun topic today. I'm kind of excited, and I think it's one that most people would overlook. I think a lot of people wouldn't actually call it a kink, but I've had a few episodes that deal with basically practicing safe kink and other dynamics of kink, and I feel this fits in with the show. So our topic today is going to be aftercare, which I'm pretty hyped about. Exciting. Yay. It's a good thing. It's a great thing.
Yes.
It's a great thing.
It's an important thing. Very important.
And we're gonna dive right in. So aftercare. For those that don't know what aftercare is, me and Songbird here are just going to start delving into it. So for you, Songbird, what is aftercare? What if you could define it or just tell us what it is for you, what it means to you.
Well, aftercare, I think like the kind of dictionary definition is for, because I had a look at a little definition online and it was kind of more geared towards like care after like heavy scenes in BDSM. But for me, it's care after just every kind of scene or every sexual experience you have with a partner for kind of comforting each other and calming each other down and kind of, I mean, especially if you've been involved in a very deep fantasy, but in general as well, just making sure that everything's good and dandy and fine and making sure that you're both okay and comfortable and that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
I did such a good job there. I did not fumble over my words at all.
That, Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. Yeah, but no, it's that. Since you mentioned it, yes. If I thought it was really interesting to look up the definition of aftercare, because while you said that for you it came up, you know, prevalently for us more BDSM, like heavy BDSM or like actual scenes and plays and stuff, whether in public or private. When I looked up some textbook definitions, I actually got more things that had to delve with mental institutions, psychiatric stuff, medical hospitals, law, like the legal systems and stuff like that. And I was like, what? It's never a word I would have used for any of those things. But actually, they are legal terms for those institutions. Aftercare is. Yeah, no, it was pretty. Yeah. When I looked it up and I was just like, prison, like legal. Like, I was like, what is going on here? And then like mental institutions. I was like, no way. Yeah. So the really cool thing is, so I kept a couple of them, because I thought that this, these were really cool things that I just wanted to talk about for a second. So if somebody has done addiction or recovery or mental institution stay. So aftercare is the important part of treatment that comes after a person finishes their program. And it is a collective plan to support an individual during their post treatment recovery, continual recovery, and prevent relapse. And then for the legal system, a definition of aftercare services emphasizes that they should help ex-offenders or prisoners rebuild a social position of self-respect and help them settle down in society as law-abiding citizens. So interesting, like when you know where we're coming from, what we're talking about, which is more physical intimacy and, you know, post-sexual relationships or, you know, scenes. Yeah. Like how I love how you said it doesn't matter how, you know, gentle, soft, small scale, somebody might call it, or vanilla. Or if we go like very extreme fantasy, you know, extreme BDSM, or like the harder, more rough scenes or more niche stuff, whatever it is, I know we're talking about that kind of aftercare, but knowing that, hearing some of these definitions, you're like, well, I can kind of see why these definitions would come up, or why there's like this kind of crossover.
Yeah.
You know, I really loved the first definition I gave, the part of it that said it was a collective plan to support the individual. And I thought, see, that was definitely what I think. That would kind of be my like, to me, it's a very, you know, I guess very official, you know, way of saying it, almost sterile way of saying it, but it is like, I feel like that's, to me, that's what aftercare is anyways. It's a check-in. It's, you know, this way of supporting, you know, this partner that you had this scene with or this session with, you know, you know, it's a collective, you know, it's intent to support them post whatever it is, and to, you know, make sure you're all on the same page and everything just keeps going smoothly, or which we'll talk about a little bit, if things didn't go smoothly, how to prevent issues in the future, you know, or what didn't go down that should have, you know, for better, you know, for better or for worse. So yeah, I think it's pretty cool, but I did think it was cool that that came up. As I delved more though, I did start to find ones for BDSM and sexual encounters and things like that. And
it's interesting. I never, like, I guess it's not something I think about all the time, but I never really have thought of it outside of a BDSM context. So that's interesting.
Yeah, because to me, if somebody told me, oh, what do you call, well, then what would you call it after somebody leaves, like, you know, these places or like a hospital? It even talked about hospital. And then yes. Another one that came up and another one that came up was, and I guess maybe it's like Google, like knowing things that I look up or something. I don't know. Tattoos, like aftercare for your tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm an ink girl. Yeah. So I was like, oh my God, I have heard that. Like my tattoo artist has said, okay, aftercare or like,
same.
Makeup or like, face regimens and things like that. Like if you get any kind of skin or plastic mm-hmm. surgery and stuff, you know, like medical, there's an aftercare routine that is to, you know, make sure you don't get any infections, make sure everything keeps going, you know, and mm-hmm. on that vein, I found it was very interesting and very similar, you know, because you're dealing with your physical bodies in all of these. And, and when you look at addiction and even, you know, the legal system, as a inmate and different things like that, it's very different mm-hmm. reassimilating to a normal social setting. And just that's kind of what,
taking care after the thing, whether it be BDSM, whether it be going to prison, those two things aren't exactly the same thing, but you know, getting a tattoo done,
but it's not the same thing.
Definitely, handcuffs. I mean, they can be intertwined, but not all the time.
No. But I did like that because it seems like aftercare is kind of encompassed all those. And so if I had to define it, if we're going like broad stroke over all these and stuff, I feel that aftercare, you know, is the care and support that is given to an individual post any non-normal intense encounter that may have affected their physical body or mental or emotional selves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they all were kind of saying, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought it was very interesting that those came up. And I mm-hmm. think when I got more to the sex stuff, it started coming up it was talking about how aftercare, said it really where, aftercare is letting your partner know they're appreciated and that they're cared for and that, you know, whatever to that. It also creates a feeling of closeness and intimacy, between partners. Feels special.
And then I found a section that talked more about like the physical side in terms of if you've gone through a pretty brutal scene involving, you know, like if you've been like, had like any physical injuries, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
cuts or caning or branding or whatever, then getting all your ointments and getting all your balms and that kind of thing.
Exactly. So the actual physical. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where in my head I was just like, well, yeah, like at a, from like a medical / physical body point, you know, aftercare is a very practical thing.
There's a way those two connect, the medical and the BDSM, there's a connection there. Cause that, yeah, those two, those two definitely can connect.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I just thought it was so funny that all these definitions came up and I was like, what? Because it's not a term I would have ever used. I would have used something like rehabilitation or something to that effect, you know, or
mm-hmm.
whatever. But it was just funny that it actually is like the legal term that they'll use in those institutions and stuff. It's something they use. And I thought, oh, wow, that's very cool. So if anything, we're just saying this is a more valid thing that happens, mm-hmm. everybody. So everybody should be doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. So I think that's the closest we can get to any sort of definition. We're going to mm-hmm. talk more about it because honestly, after that, it's different for everybody and it's different per scene. Even mm-hmm. like, you know, the kind of aftercare you can probably relate, the kind of aftercare I need after quote unquote normal vanilla sex is not the mm-hmm. same after a BDSM thing. You know, it's not the same kind of aftercare. So, I mean, that's me. But that being said, what I maybe want after a BDSM session. It may not be what you need or want after one, you know. So
yeah.
So it's going to be, other than that, other than the definition of just kind of what it is, it gets very, could be anything.
Specific.
Everybody's so different. Yeah, it's a very, very personal, predicated need, you know, and desire. So so we're going to talk a little bit about that and how that works. But first, I want to delve into the who. Who needs aftercare? Do you have an answer?
I think, well, everybody in some form or another. Because in my personal kind of the way I do sex, Jesus, the way that I work, because I'm submissive and so the for the most part I receive the most aftercare, but my partners who are always dominant, they do receive it as well, but in kind of different ways. And for I think, well, in my personal experience, for them it kind of mental and verbal aftercare, and for me it's verbal, emotional, mental and physical in general. Like, so I kind of, you know, I can calm them down and cheer them up and whatever needs doing, and then I'll get that as well. But then I'll also get, you know, Chinese takeaway or whatever, you know, whatever, you know, like,
you know, yeah, whatever you need,
things like that, or like an ice pack, or, you know, for marks and stuff like that. But both, actually talking about physical, we both need cuddles usually. Cuddling is very, 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 very important. But I mean, I know some people don't like it, don't like cuddling, but I always need that kind of physical intimacy in terms of cuddles and hair stroking and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I think I'm definitely, I need the closeness afterwards. I don't need like, and everybody cuddles different anyways. So I like, a part of me is like, I don't need someone to be like all up on me and like hugging me tight or anything like that. But I do know for me, which I think I mentioned in the CNC episode that I did with Boots. It's, I know for me, any sexual encounter, like my aftercare, like hands down, as until I encourage you to do so, or I say it's okay for you to do so, part of my aftercare is my partner can't leave the room for a time period. So, because I've learned that that is just something I need emotionally and mentally more than physically. So, but everybody's different. Some people, they can do the thing and, you know, and then whoop, okay, see you later, you know. And I guess if it's like a really practical thing, like if it was like a quickie before work or during lunch or something, that I could understand. But if they've got really no practical express reason to leave that I feel is good enough, then them leaving would be a negative effect on the whole encounter.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, which is another reason aftercare is so important. And we'll talk about that. Not getting aftercare or getting the wrong sort of aftercare can actually sour the entire session, or what you were, you know, whether it's normal, a normal sex day for you guys, or if it's some kink exploration or a heavy, you know, kink or fetish scene. It can really ruin and sour that experience of that day. And ultimately, several instances of such, I think, can sour a relationship sexually. So but yeah, you basically said everybody needs aftercare, and then that kind of was my question. You know, is it a certain role or a certain relationship dynamic, or is it only after certain kink scenes or fetishes, or if certain things are involved? But I think between us defining it and you kind of talking about it, you know, how we've talked about it some, we've pretty much established that like everybody, anybody and everybody could need it. So.
Well, I mean, there are obviously there'll be probably loads mm-hmm. of people out there that don't need the kind of classic kind of cuddling and talking and everything. There might be some people that their form of aftercare is making sure that their partner is okay, you know. I don't know if that even falls under the umbrella of aftercare, but possibly. I don't really, and I'm not really 100% sure, but this is just a guess.
No, you're fine. It's all right.
There might be people out there that go, I'm okay. I just want to make sure they're okay. And then I'll be okay fully, you know?
Yeah, no, I could see that, especially if we're, that was something, well, and this kind of just gets into this one conversation. So we'll just go there with it. Talking about roles, and since this is really big in the BDSM or the heavier kink scenes, you know, one of my questions was, do dominants or, you know, or the aggressors of the scenes, do they need aftercare?
Absolutely.
And yeah. And my first thought was absolutely. And my first thought in my head was thought, based on experiences I've had, when I have been the dominant one or with, you know, people that have been the dominant to my submissive, they need to know, you know, they need to know that they are, I don't want to say good people, but they need to be reminded that they're gentle people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Gentle people. When you say good people, it makes them sound all horrible, but they're not. Yeah. But I mean, like, because if there's degradation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If there's
it's
like degradation.
Yeah,
it's a fantasy.
It was great. Yeah. I'm okay.
Yeah, exactly. They need to know that. And they need to know that they're gentle and that, you know, that they need to remind it too, that it was just a fantasy and they can leave it all at the door, you know, and it's okay. That was always my first thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, and this is something else, something in when I was delving through definitions and stuff, mm-hmm. I think it works both ways as well. They need to know that they shouldn't be ashamed for enjoying if it's like a particularly unusual kink or, you know, a kink that some people would go, what, you're into that really? Or, you know, whatever it is, that they shouldn't be ashamed for enjoying it.
Exactly.
That, you know, because they do enjoy it, it doesn't make them weird. It doesn't make them a bad person. And just kind of be reassured of that, you know.
No, they definitely do. I know when I've had conversations with people about CNC or, you know, dominant and submissive and BDSM and stuff, or rape play, mainly CNC and like rape play and more aggressive scenes.
Yeah.
I think people all the time hear like, how could you be into like being the submissive or being the, you know, the victim and so and on. And I'm like, well, how can somebody turn around and be okay with being the aggressor? Like, are either of them bad people? No, it's a fantasy, you know? And I think people forget about the side of that from the dominant is, you know, they are being, you know, for, especially with CNC and rape play and stuff, there's the demeaning language that, you know, as I've said in previous episodes, everybody set your boundaries for what you're okay with. But, you know, assuming that you have, there's still usually degradation. There's still physical restraints and usually pain or impact play to some sort and aggression and, you know, almost a free use, non-intimate level in a lot of ways. It just depends on the scene you're playing out. And I think people forget that when they're in the scene, they can get just as pulled into the fantasy. And then when they come out of it, they may still feel, you know, they may feel like a little lost for a whole second, or they may feel bad about what they said. And so I love how you said that part of their aftercare, or what you suggested as part of their aftercare, maybe really knowing for sure that this, that the submissive in the scene is okay, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think a part of it is fantasy, like not all of it, but obviously if you're in the fantasy and you're just going wild and letting yourself go, you may be louder than you usually are, maybe more cool than you usually are. If it's CNC, then it could be very convincing that you don't want this at all, you know, but until you say the safe word, that's the scene, you know? And so once you come out and you're kind of sitting there and you're both thinking about everything and stuff, the dominant one could be thinking, okay, they never use the safe word, but are they really okay? Like, was everything okay? You know? And so, yeah, I think it's definitely, I feel that in that sense, everyone may not need aftercare, but I feel everyone should be afforded the option.
Absolutely.
It should be a thing.
And
just because someone is the dominant, or just because this is a, you know, like trying a lighter kink or something, I don't think it should be laughed off that somebody would need aftercare, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a thing. And it's so simple.
I've received aftercare after, okay, normal's not the word, but like, I've been, it's not like after lighter sex, you know, like, vanilla's definitely not the word because I don't normally have vanilla sex. But after,
it's been equated to like lighter. So like softcore porn, I think vanilla has. It's just like so non passionate.
I don't think I've had vanilla sex in my life, so it's, yeah, there's always been a level of something.
I think that's my thing about the vanilla thing. I'm remiss to say it too. I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But vanilla is equated to like boring and passionless.
Vanilla's not boring, but there's always like dom sub comes into it all the time. So in my head, that means I've never
had. You've never had. Yeah, exactly. I gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, even after just a quickie or just something lighter or just having a good old time with a Hitachi, whatever it is, there is always, even in its smallest increment, there is always some form of aftercare, even if that is just a cuddle and then a movie or something, you know, there is always something.
And sometimes that's as simple as it is. But yeah, some of the listeners, you know, have probably developed their own language of aftercare with their partners. They don't even realize, like how you just said, cuddle in a movie, which, you know, to people are like, oh, that doesn't seem like anything, but it's like, okay, but if it's not a thing, then every time if you had sex with your partner, and you just got up and left and didn't cuddle, didn't say anything, didn't do anything, didn't talk, didn't check in, don't you think like your sexual relationship or your relationship in general might start to suffer a little bit? Like it's this intimacy afterwards.
I've had a relationship die because of that. Like it was a purely like sexual one. There wasn't really anything else, but like there was nothing afterwards. There was like the most basic of small talk and then bye. And I was like, oh, okay, bye.
It's like, oh, okay, bye.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah. No, exactly. And that's my thing. I think the only sort of sexual relationship that can last like that long term, I mean, a part of me wants to say like friends with benefits, but in that sense, most of them don't have an issue, you know, being friends like later that day or, you know, or even afterwards, like hanging out afterwards, or like maybe they say goodbye, but then the next day they hang out or something, or they text each other. So it's still sort of aftercare, you know, like, check-in.
You know, like friends do.
Exactly. Like friends. Just
acquaintances with benefits.
Right. Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of an established dynamic, and you do what you normally would as friends, same as a couple. You just do what you normally would do as couples, you know, or you have your special time afterwards and stuff. And that's a thing. So, yeah. So you guys may already be after caring it up. If so, kudos to you. It's a good thing.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Man. So it's cool. So yeah, I think who needs it? Anybody could need it. Everybody could need it. I think that if I'd have to say who absolutely should require it, I would say anybody that's doing like a very heavy scene, that like not even is violent or anything in any sense of the word or rough or anything. I just feel if it's a scene where it's completely removed you kind of from what's your normal reality, then I would say yes, that's when you like need aftercare and like a check-in, because you totally stepped outside of yourself and did things you don't normally do and stuff. And so I feel like the aftercare in that sense is kind of like a re-neutralizing, you know, like reintroduction back to like, oh yeah, I am just Ruth. Mm-hmm. And we're cool, you know, like it's going to be okay. Everything's cool.
Oh yeah. I'm not a captive. Oh yeah. I'm not a murderer. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, man. We talked about it for a second. I want to give each side its due. We did talk about the dominance, how, you know, people may not consider that they need the aftercare, usually because they're such the directive force, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, afterwards, oh, take care of all the doms and stuff like that. Whatever your setup is whatever your setup is. I know that some submissives need more express aftercare. As you mentioned, physically they may, like if there is marks and depending on how aggressive or how much impact play and stuff, they probably need those physical needs addressed first in whatever way they need them addressed. You know, and then once they've kind of had that cool down period and stuff and they can come back to themselves, then the DOMs could be addressed. But some, it just depends. So that being said, speaking of that for submissives, and I'll let you go into it if you want. If not, I'll kind of try to branch out into it. But the term subdrop is something not everybody knows what subdrop is. Do you kind of like roughly want to give just let people know what subdrop
is? I don't think
is.
I would do a very good job. I have never looked up a definition. I'm not 100. I mean, I've most likely experienced it, but there's like, I mean, yeah, I'm going to throw it over to you if that's okay. And then I'll chip in.
Yeah, I was going to say you've probably experienced, I mean, obviously.
I definitely have, but I just refreshing.
Yeah, no, you're totally fine and stuff. I was going to say, not that all of us VAs know everybody else's, all of the others, all of the other sexual experiences, but I would imagine so. But okay, so basically what subdrop is, for those that don't know, it's for submissive, and it's called a submissive for shortened subdrop. So it's a submissive drop. And what this is it's actually when the submissive hits like an emotional and or physical low after a session. And we're going to talk more about when, but this can begin anywhere from immediately following the scene, whatever went down in it, up to a few days later is when it can start. Because for some, that endorphin high, you know, like the high, the pleasure and everything, all the chemicals in your brain and things like that, you know, you know how you can like have a really great experience and you can just ride the high for days, some days it feels like. Yeah, yeah. So for some, that these sexual encounters and these scenes, they can do that. But it's almost that immediately loss of such. So imagine feeling super, super high and then just boom, plummeting, like your mood just diving so hard.
Like caffeine.
Exactly. Or like a crazy sugar or caffeine crash, something like that. So, but basically.
I have definitely experienced that. Yes.
Exactly. So, and it's, it usually, most people they'll hit the sub drop usually a few minutes to like maybe an hour or so afterwards, you know, and it'll, you know, it could last a little while. But I have heard people that they can ride the high for like a few days and then it just, poof, just goes off the deep end. So that's pretty much what sub drop is. It's that just that tottering over the edge and plummeting as far as mood and your physical, you know, you may feel physically ill. I think it's more of a mental and emotional thing all intents and purposes and what I'm seeing and stuff. But it's, the drop is for those that don't know. And as Songbird said, she's experienced it. It's so I wanted to give that other side of the coin, that sub drop is very real. Mm-hmm. As far as its roots and why it happens, is because even if you are the gentlest dominant there is, when a submissive gives over everything, and this is my understanding, I'm not a sex expert, this is just what I've known and what I've heard from others. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, don't think I have a podcast because I'm great at this. A lot of my episodes, I've told you how horrible I am at a lot of this. But no matter how big or, you know, how intense, how whatever, no matter how light and gentle the scene is, to how extreme, you know, even to the levels of sadist and masochism, you know, it's the fact that the submissive has, my understanding is the submissive gave up everything to be submissive. They handed over everything. They handed over everything. They handed over this extreme vulnerability. And depending on which direction the scene went and what the dominant did, when the scene ends, it's almost nearing my, and I'm saying this for me, my understanding and how I have felt, it's almost like a loss of identity when it ends, for a couple of different reasons. One, if there was heavy, the one that seems obvious to me is if there was heavy degradation and such, then when you come back, it's just like the dominant. It's hard for you to remember that this was just a fantasy, you know, because we are people. We do hear these words. And while we do like them, at the same time, you can get so immersed that like you can forget that, you know, this is just, you know, this person loves you. They don't really feel those things about, you know, or this person, even if it's not a relationship with love, this person, usually you should be doing this with people you trust, BT dubs. I've said this 8 million times in the past, but if it's not true love and it's not your permanent partner, this person cares about you enough to give you what you needed sexually and for the scene. They would never want you to feel, you know, these things. And they don't feel these things about you as a genuine person. They're just letting you have this fantasy. So, you know, you don't, you know, so that's part of it. The other part of it that I've actually learned is that most submissives, when they get up that power, they give up their, you know, not their identity, but when they give up control, when they give up all these things, when the scene is over, they have a problem with the identity of knowing what to do with themselves, you know, like getting back into their shoes and being in charge, you know, like being in charge and like, you know, it's hard for them to like pick the reins back
go,
up.
Letting go of that kind of total, not submissiveness, but that, you know, that total submissiveness, you know, that you do in a scene as opposed to in your, you know, your everyday life.
Exactly. That's, well, in my one friend who is super submissive, she's delightful. And just like, kind of like, I don't want to say like you, but how you've expressed it, I would imagine close to you. I'm not saying dead on, but even she's the same way. I would say that she'd probably say, I've never had vanilla sex in my life, because there's always like the dom subness to it. She 99% of her encounters, she's always submissive. She loves it. And that's great. And
I am the same in the way that I am submissive in my real life as well. I mean, I am a strong, independent woman, blah, blah, blah. I am totally, don't get me wrong. But I am submissive as a person, like outside of sex. I am a very submissive person. In general, but there's a difference between submissive me going to work and being, you know, talking to friends, and then submissive me with a partner in a scene. Those are two very different people.
Very different and stuff. And and I feel like there's also a difference between submission and independence, you know. You know, there's definitely a difference in that sense. Even during the phase of which I was the most submissive, sexually or just in a relationship dynamic, because for some people it does cross over into the entire dynamic. It's not just scenes. Even in my most submissive days, I still got up and I did everything I needed to do, because that's where the gate ended for me. I am a strong, independent woman who don't need no man, that's great. So I've always been like that. But anyways, the point was, is that for her, I found out that her thing was, is while she was, normally submissive all the time, when she would go into these heavier scenes or like a really passionate thing where she just like gave everything over, then when the scene ended, even with her permanent partners, and she's now married and has been for several years, even now still, she experiences these drops where when the scene is ended and some of that total submission is lost, where she like gets it back because the scene's ended, she almost feels like her value has been lowered, because she's not able to be that, she's no longer needed to be that submissive anymore because the scene is ended. So she feels like, oh, well, then what am I supposed to do with myself? And then she just starts to feel like she's not good at all, and people don't realize that that could be an element of it too. I didn't think about it, but as I've talked to people more and I've realized it, that's totally an element of sometimes of sub drop. It's not always like, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but sometimes when a scene has ended, I feel that because the scene is now over and we're both, satisfied in one way or another, I get paranoid that I'm no longer an object of desire. Which is silly, because of course I am, but I have that kind of snap moment of total insecurity where I think, oh, well, now we've done that, he's not going to see me as this attractive, submissive little slut or whatever, anymore. and that kind of makes me feel like, that I still want to be that, I don't want that to element. And then that level of aftercare comes in where they reassure me and go, I still find you attractive. Come, it's fine. I just need to breathe and, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I could say definitely. Yeah, I feel that that is definitely in the same vein, in the sense that, you feel like you aren't as attractive anymore, or you feel like you're not desirable. Because I feel like dominance could feel the same way too. Yeah. Because I feel that the level of dominance that a partner gets to in those scenes and stuff is very controlling, very like driving force. Yeah. And man, it can be exhausting for them. Well, I know because I've done dominance myself, and it can be super exhausting. And then afterwards, you feel like, wow, like I definitely couldn't be this all the time. Yeah. And this was really great. But like, it's just like, okay, I'm not as dominant anymore. Like, are they into me anymore? I guess for me, because I'm a girl. I'm a lady. I'm a lady. But like, if anybody knows me, I'm goofy and silly and cuddly and cute and sassy and all these things. When I'm a dom, I'm totally like, you're going to submit. There is no question, and I'm very adamant and I can put on the very dominant tones. But like afterwards, when everything's said and done, like when I go back to like, I love you, or like I playfully like nom them on the shoulder and be like, can we have cookies now? And I go like super cute. And I'm like, is that going to annoy them? Like, are they going to be into me anymore? Cause the switch, and I feel like that's similar, at least in my circumstance, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I've had to reassure my partners before that. I've had to reassure them, like, still think you're a very sexy person. Even though it's cuddle and film time, you're still a very sexy dom. Go you, and because it works both ways. It does work both ways. But kind of reassuring, which does it might to some people sound a bit ridiculous, because if you didn't find each other attractive, you wouldn't be having sex in the first place. But it does need to be said sometimes. You have to be reminded that you whether you're doing a scene or whether you're chilling out or whatever, doing your taxes together for whatever, you do find each other attractive, and sometimes in the lapse of whatever, that can be forgotten. If it's, you know, I think it comes down to, you know, insecurity and exhaustion sometimes, you know. That does need to be repeated sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think we're all human. And I think even on any day of the week, we'd like to know that we're attractive, like you know, because it's nice. We assume we're not. And I think for some of us, especially nowadays, everything's a hustle. We're all hustling. We're all trying to do this. And then even with lockdown, half the time we're in and we're probably in PJs and not looking our most attractive and things like that. And we need to know that we still have it.
We've had three lockdowns in this country. The first one, I know this is going off topic a little bit, but I swear I went so long. I think I accidentally grew a dreadlock. Let's just say that it was bad. Not an attractive human being.
I think nobody was. I think we were all just like horrible stay-at-home goblins. You know, it was not good. We had no chill. We had no respect. We just were so tired. Everybody was.
Yeah.
Oh goodness, so funny. But like, we need to know those things still. And like I said, for me, I can definitely say that if nobody's figured it out from my aftercare is, you know, part of feeling still desired after the sexual moments are done, feeling desired as a person and that you would want my company is definitely part of my aftercare. That's why my partners, I say, are not allowed to. I guess you could. There's the door. Get up and walk away. But like, they're not allowed to leave because... Yeah. My aftercare is not so much about what happened during sex, you know, most anything that happens during a session. most anything that's happened during that, I just realized, you know, sex, I usually just have fun with it and it's good and I enjoy it and I can get over any little mishaps that happen. But the aftercare, you know, do you still want me past sex? You know, is a huge deal that I've had since I was very young, and I've had a lot of instances and things. And, you know, I know we hate to say, I don't want to make somebody pay taxes for, you know, past people's mistakes, but you know, we're only human and our brains don't work that way. So that's my thing. So, but it's true. I think it's, and honestly, it doesn't cost you anything to tell your partner they still look good. No, and that you're still attracted to them. And it can only make things better, to be honest.
just briefly re-mentioning sub drop. I've actually experienced, unfortunately, in my time, I have experienced that in the middle of a scene, which is...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just not the best. And so I've had to use a safe word or a gesture. And I've had to be like, hey, I need you to come over here and cuddle me right now. So we've had to have some early aftercare.
sometimes you have to.
And luckily that's not happened too often, but it has happened a couple of times where I've just kind of got all up in my head, or the things that I've experienced, the sensations and the restraints and whatever, have just gotten a bit too much for me, and I've had to just say we need to do cuddles and movie time like now, please.
And I mean, I, as knowing when I've been a submissive, if I had ever had that where I needed to do it mid scene, I think a part of me would just feel like doubly worse. So I can only imagine. Because, you know, you feel like you've let them down and then you didn't even, you know.
I felt terrible and I would apologize. And
it would just compound that moment, I'm sure. Like it just compounds. You're like, oh, I need to stop. And it's like, but then now it hurts more that I need to stop. You know, like. I would just like, oh, dude, mess.
I've had to go through the whole thing in my head of, I need to stop, but I don't want to because I don't want to make them feel bad. I don't want to stop the scene because I'm sure they're having a lot of fun, but like and then I've had to kind of come to the conclusion of no, I need to stop, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. but luckily it's always been received very well. So
yeah, that's it's good.
I've
then.
Never had the fuck you, how dare you, I was having fun. No, I've never had that.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, that's good. That's yeah. A good thing. I think the same thing for aftercare, probably what I think about safe words. Like if you've got to stop, then you've got to stop. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know. Have I experienced it? I'm not sure. Oh, I know I haven't experienced like the epitome of like what my body could do in this sense, but I know mm-hmm. there is some fantastic mind-blowing sex out there somewhere. It's somewhere. For everybody, it's different. For everybody, it's different. The point is, I'm saying I've had really great sex. I don't know if I've reached my peak, but like I've had some really good stuff that I am happy with, and I could die happy knowing I've had it.
Sex that I'm happy with.
Yeah, I know. But like my thing is like there's some mind-blowing sex out there, but in my opinion, there is not, it is not that mind-blowing that it can't be put off till later. Like in my opinion, absolutely. You can always try again. You can always do it later. Nothing is worth the expense of somebody else, you know, hurting either physically, mentally, or emotionally.
Unless there's somebody out there who's like, I can only have really good sex at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. I'm like, no. Okay, stop.
right. Yeah. Yeah. No. So like my thing is, so I feel the same way about aftercare, you know, or just stopping. I've had it to where, this wasn't really kink heavy and stuff, but I've had it to where I've gotten inside my head, you know, and I think mm-hmm. I've talked about this in so many episodes previously that you cannot change my mind that sex is so psyche involved. It is.
Oh yeah.
It is so, you know, we don't even mean it, but the way, yeah. And so my thing is I remember I was with a partner, things were getting hot and heavy. It had been like a cat and mouse game, like all mm-hmm. day, like so cat and mouse, which I love. I love the chase. I love the challenge. I love the slow burn tease. I'm all about the buildup all day long. Mm-hmm. And it was good. And we finally got to like the physical moments and it was going down to pound town. It was going to happen. And then like, I think we were literally on the cusp and in my head, I think it was, I had a fear of like the whole chase ending. I had a fear of like being desirable after it all ended. I also kind of had like, I'm just one of those people, like I hate saying goodbye. I hate for like watching a movie after I've watched previews for months, you know, because it all ends. It's over. The story's over, you know, like that chase, that excitement, that oh my God.
Anticipation.
Yeah, anticipation. There we go. In my head, I had to have Frankenfurter say it.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, gosh. But I think in my head, I think I just had that moment of, you know, like after, you know, after we have sex, is it still going to be exciting? Is it still going to be fun? Am I still going to be fun? Are they going to want to, you know, are they going to want to do this again? I just got so much in my head and I just basically like, to be honest, I basically went kind of like limp in their hands and just kind of slumped against them and kind of like, you know, buried my head in their chest. And I think at that point they were like, whoa, you know, and stuff. And like at that point it was just more of like a pick me up and took me to bed and laid down with me.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point, that's what I did need. It was like cuddles. I needed to know that if there wasn't going to be sex, everything was still going to be okay between us.
Yeah.
And so again, like I wasn't extremely mid scene. But it was the same kind of thing. I feel like there was a similar vein there. So I wanted to share that. So, but the point is that you should never have to be ashamed to, you know, I didn't have the energy to physically say, hey, can we not do this right now? But all my body language, everything and stuff basically withdrew my consent, you know, and I thank goodness I had a partner that was pressing.
It is hard when you get in your head, it is hard to pretend that you're still having a good time, you know, then because if you try and do that, eventually you'll just crash.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not healthy. It's not good for you or for them, you know?
No. And that's the thing. So my thing is just, you know, don't ever feel bad that you have to use a safe word, that you have to, you know, need aftercare halfway through. And definitely don't feel bad if you want some aftercare afterwards.
Yeah.
I know it, and I think I've realized this in the last couple of years, but like, adults need to have conversations about the sex they're having. I'm sorry. this is why I have the podcast. I love, sex is great, but like, sex for me anyways, sex as a means of like discovering who you are and what you like and what your sexual self is and being an adult. And also, you know, when you're in relationships and how it can grow and you can like do things and just get better and have like a great sex life. It is so cool. It is so great. And I can only 100%, 1,000 times tell you that if you just have these conversations with your partner, you don't have to be serious. Have fun ones. Look at porn together. Do whatever. The point is like, have these conversations, because I cannot tell you the sex and your relationship is only going to get better. And if you're not in a relationship, you are only going to discover things that you for sure like, and you're going to get more in tune with your body, and you're going to feel more confident sexually, honestly, which everybody could use, even myself still. There's times where I'm like, I'm the worst at this when it comes to sex, you know? So but at the end of the day, the more I've explored it and the more I've experimented with things, I've found like this inner sex person, you know, I don't want to say goddess, cause I'm not that far, but like a part of me is just like this tigress who knows what she wants and is not afraid to be like, I'd like you to do this right now, which 10 years ago, I never in a million years would have said, like, I would have never had the balls to say that. I'm like, nah, we're not saying that. Like, you know, like, hey, I would love it if you just give me a little slap right now, you know? And it's just like, I would never say that 10 years ago. I'd be like, oh gosh, don't say that. They'll think you're so weird. Don't say that. Oh man. And, cause it can be a great thing to be open and enjoy the sex. And, you don't have to have the same sex every time. Newsflash. Oh man.
Have the nurse.
Or if you like the same sex every time, it's good to like know that and just talk about it.
Yeah.
After you have good sex too. And like, it's good after sex to just like look at each other and be breathless and be like, that was good. We're good. We are pros.
I love, I love to like jokingly use the line, was it good for you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's so, it's fun and stuff like that. It's, it's a good thing. So, yeah.
And it's also, it's important, if you're talking like pillow talk, it's important to bring up what doesn't work as well. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be, I hated this and I wanted you to stop. No, it could just be a kind of, you could just move a little to the left next time, you know, just like little things, just like, I don't really like that area of my body being touched. Can you not touch that? Or just small things. And hopefully if you're with someone that trusts you and appreciates you and all that jazz, then they're not going to get offended by it, you know. It's not personal. Like, you know that they're not, it's not like, it's just a preference, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, it is at the end of the day and stuff. It's, you know, and I'm glad you brought this up, because this is kind of one of the last points on it, on aftercare is, you know, we've kind of talked more about like the emotional, mental side and stuff, but the practical side, how you said, you know, aftercare is a good way to check in on what maybe didn't go down that you would have liked, or things that went down that weren't bad enough for you to like remove yourself. You know, you were still just fine, but it's just kind of like, hey, you remember when you called me this? That was great. But, you know, maybe next time you could try this, because I feel like I would like it so much better, you know, or like stuff like that. Like, it's not saying I had a bad time, but it's saying when you were doing that, I was kind of wishing this, but I just didn't have time to say it. You know, like I was just going with it and stuff. Do you think you could do this next time? Or like how you said, you touched me here. It wasn't horrible, but like, I just, it wasn't as great as it could have been. So like, maybe let's try somewhere else, you know, and stuff like. Oh, sorry, one second. Apparently. Okay, they're going. I was like, okay, my My maintenance people may try to landscape right now, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, they are. Well, anyways, if they are, then I'll just turn this gain down and I'll fix it. But the point is that while, you know, it's maybe not that you not like it, but there could be something better, you know, or it that you can know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like something I learned is I'm not really into people messing with my ears a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't hate it. Yeah. You know, nibble my ears, do your thing and stuff like that. But man, the 2 inches below it of my neck, whoo, that is the sweet spot. Yeah. Oh boy. So like, you know, if I had to choose between the two, go for the neck. Like, but that's not a bad note. I didn't hate the ear stuff. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I'm just trying to desperately think of something that I've like, because I've never had anything that I absolutely hated. But like, there's stuff that I said from the get-go, just like, don't tickle me. Just don't. I don't think it's fun. I don't think it's cute. Please don't do that to me.
I think tickling, unless it's by accident. Yeah, it's not my thing.
I'm very lucky. I've never had, I know I have had a couple of instances where I've been like, you know that thing? Didn't like that so much. But seeing as I can't remember them right now, they can't have been that massive or deathly important. So I'm lucky to have not had anything huge or...
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think too. Now that I think about it, I'm like, have I had anything? Yeah, because I'm in my head, I'm thinking as I've explored kink more, I've only felt more confident to do so, which I've had more of a voice to say what I don't like and what I do like ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So I've actually, you know, some kink and stuff that I experienced beforehand. But I know like my thing is until it's been predicated beforehand, I don't like like aggressive like head pushing or pulling when it comes to oral, unless we've already established it's going to go down or that's the scene. I don't know why. I think it's just because I don't like that directive unless that's part of it that day. I don't know why. I'm like, it's just like I guess I want to give that permission. And in the moment, I don't like to stop and give permission. I just like to establish beforehand. So,
go ahead. I have had like days where, I mean, they do this kind of thing on like kink, like porn sets and stuff as well, which went through a small, small porn phase during the first lockdown. I watch a lot of kink.com. Anyway, but there'll be some days where it's like, just maybe avoid that area of my body today. I just don't really want you to do anything with that. Or you know, or like, you know, if I've like pulled a muscle or whatever it is, you know, just like, just,
I oh, yeah.
prefer it if you didn't.
Oh yeah. Just, I've had that happen avoid, then.
Yeah. Just like little things like that. Like, you just not just completely, please don't hurt that area too much today. I'm feeling sensitive.
Yeah, you know, no,
because I think my part. Yeah, I am generally into pain. Not like massively, but I'm kind of getting something and exploring a bit more of that area recently, which has been quite fun. Getting more and more into pain. And there'll be some days where I'll be like, hell yeah, get that crop, do that thing, yeah, ruin me, woo. But then there'll be some days where it's like, can you just like tell me I'm pretty and fuck me gently?
Oh yeah. No, for like, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. I know now that you'd said like sore muscle and stuff like that, I think there has been one time where it was just like a position where I thought, oh, this is fine. And then like they changed positions and like, oh man, did it like pull a muscle? Like it was painful. And I was like, you know, and like they could tell immediately because I was like wincing and like, no. And then they were like, what's the matter? Is it this? And I'm like, no. I'm just like that really hurts. Can we please change back or like do something else? And they're just like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No problem.
Yeah. I was just trying to, that's it. I didn't finish the book, but I read a few chapters of The Loving Dominant a few years ago. And I remember there was a section of it where they were talking about that thing of, engaging in like pain in a scene. And I remember the author saying there's a very big difference between like inflicting pain that you've kind of talked about beforehand, that crop or a cane or whatever it may be, and then they used an example, like their partner was restrained with straps, and the straps started pinching their arm, and it was like, yes, it is pain. Yes, it's probably not as painful as getting, you know, spanked or cropped or whatever, but it's a pain that it's the context is different. It's an uncomfortable pain, and you know, and that's when they flag down and go, can we just readjust this and then carry on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing, does it take like 5 seconds to do that? You're good.
Yeah, exactly.
5 seconds, everybody do it. I mean, what's the point of having painful sex that you're not enjoying if it takes like 5 seconds? Like, hey, can we just revamp for 5 seconds? Change, you know, like, yeah, I just feel like I'm on a team. It's just like, hey guys, we're doing okay, but we're going to change gears now. All right, go, break, you know, let's do this and just get like right back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just talk. Communication is great. Communication is a lovely thing. We kind of talked about it, like when could somebody need it? Could be, you know, right away. Could be, you know, days later or something like that. You just have to find out from your partners, learn people's languages, especially if we're dealing with sub-drop. Like we said, it could last for days. Mm-hmm. I've found, to my knowledge, it actually depends on how long the scene is and what's involved. I will say for me, something that I experienced just in small, I won't say sub drop, but a small degree of that is when marks fade after a scene.
Yeah.
Like when you get 4 or 5 days down the road and you can barely see some marks anymore, you're like, it's a sad thing.
I do get sad.
I think a lot of people do. It's a very, very, very small vein of it. But I think from a submissive standpoint, or even from a sexually desirable standpoint, I'm a possessive person and I love marking and claiming in that kind of vein of sex. So when I love seeing my marks on my partners, and I love seeing marks on myself that my partner has left. So when they fade, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm not as sexy as more. I don't feel as sexy as more. Or like when they're, don't have my hickeys on their neck anymore, I'm like, hey, nobody's gonna know you're still mine, you know, like, you're just like getting these things. So like, you know, that could be a form of like, just keep in mind, like, you know, it's aftercare is about everything that, I don't know, comes after sex, that, you know, just but check in. I remember talking to learn love languages,
talking about the sadness of marks fading. my early days of, and when I was just starting out in the world of BDSM, like I'm the first time I ever got spanked, and you know, so it wasn't big and hot and heavy because it was my first time ever getting spanked. So they took it easy on me, thankfully. But because that's the first time I'd ever been spanked, I got bruises. And I remember like looking in the bathroom mirror and going, "Oh my god, that's so cool. Oh yeah, that's amazing." And then they faded. Unfortunately, after a while, if you are spanked in a very similar way for, because I wasn't really, I hadn't started exploring like pain back then, really. So marks weren't a very common thing for me. But I'm pretty sure, like I must have got like a tolerance to it or something, because I didn't really get marks again, like bruises from the spanking, which kind of made, I was a bit disappointed about that.
Right.
I was, because it just looks so cool, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But now I've been kind of going more down the path of being a pain slut. and I've been kind of, I guess, building up my building up my tolerance in a good way, meaning I can take more. I can take more pain. I can take more, you know, more strokes of the whip or you know, whatever it is. You know, I am at my kind of most satisfied and happy when I leave, looking absolutely battered and bruised. That makes me so happy. And then they go and it's like, oh,
Yes, I sad. Yeah, no, yeah, sad day. Yeah, so yeah, but it's totally true. I think you do. I think it makes sense, the building up the tolerance thing and stuff. That being said, my skin is just, I don't know if it's the fact that I just have very fair skin or very sensitive skin, which in most senses I hate, because like lotions, creams, dryness, all that kind of stuff, everything always like irritates my skin. So, yeah, but in that sense, on the good note and stuff is it doesn't take that hard of like a nibble or like a suckle and there's like marks there. They will fade, but like, I think, you know, the more regularly you get them and stuff like that, I've noticed with a partner, like the more they have to like go at it or something. I guess my skin's like, oh, is this a treatment we're going to get now? Well, then we're going to bolster up. And I'm like, no, I like to see them.
like being, you know, straight after the scene, they said, okay, so when, remember to put some ice on the bruises and put some lotion on it. And I went home going, yeah, I'm totally going to do that. And then I didn't do it.
You're like,
cause I was like, cause I want them to stay.
right
it's worth paying.
definitely. I like that, and I like that sensitivity too, like the like the neck and stuff, especially like around the neck and the shoulder area and stuff, or like wrists and stuff, like you'll, and you can like feel like the bruising or like the light marking. It's got that tenderness to it, and I'm like, I like this. So definitely good. But yeah, whatever the aftercare is, and everything, just you know, figure it out between you and your partners and stuff. But basically, I'm saying it could be anywhere. So, and how long do they need it? For as long as they need it. I know one friend of mine, after their scene and their submissive, and when they have their scene end, they actually don't want to be touched because their skin is super sensitive. See the other vein of the negative side. They don't want to be touched, but they want their dom to stay there and stuff. And sometimes they cry and different things and stuff, or, you know, whatever they do. And after about 20 minutes, they're good. They just need like that whole minute to just like let everything finish, not be touched. Yeah, yeah. They're super sensitive and not be moved. And then after that, they're like, sweet, you want to watch like, you know, like,
The Office.
A horror, watch like The Office and have some pizza. Like they're just like totally like back to like chill mode, you know, and stuff. And then there's some people that they need like very gentle things. Like I know my other friend who does submissive, her male partner who is submissive just needs like a lot of like massaging, coddling, things like that, very care, you know, hair strokes, all those sort of things. Needs super gentle touches. She even does the thing where she goes back and she like kisses all the marks and stuff that she's made, and they like point them out, and it's like this fun little cute thing, and it's sweet and it's very tender, or even like rubbing lotions or whatever on, or, you know, and stuff, or and things like that and stuff. You know, or if you've been tied, I know a lot of people like to do like the wrist rubbing, or wherever they've been tied, they'll give them massages and rub downs there.
Well, a lot of times
it just comes down to everybody or individuals.
Well, a lot of times for me, and probably should have mentioned this earlier, but a lot of times for me, DDLG comes into it, because it's not a constant thing in sex in general for me, but it comes up a lot because I am a little, and again, like being a submissive in my normal life, there's also a part of me that's little, and so as well as like hugs and cuddles and stuff, you know, sometimes I'll want head scratches, and sometimes, you know, I want to be spoken to like I'm a very good girl, you know, just things like that, just kind of caregiver type, you know, the dom would take some of the caregiver role, and, you know, make sure that I've got my favorite kind of chocolate nearby or whatever it is. And again, that doesn't always come into it, but sometimes, especially if it's a scene that we've properly like pre-planned and got sorted, you know, kind of to the letter and everything, that comes into it. And yeah, that kind of allows me to go fully into like subspace, and I can totally be vulnerable and know that I'm being looked after, and I know mm-hmm. that I won't be judged for, you know, basically acting like a child, you know,
and needing that coddling and such, you know, or like, you know, that's yeah. where you totally don't have to, you don't have to adult, you don't have to do it, make any choices, do anything. You can just
yeah
let it go.
Yeah, I think women, you know, that kind of rush in your head when you've just had an orgasm and your brain's just all like, I used to call it like, it's kind of like, I used to call it fuzzy brain. And I used to kind of, and you know, when like, I would just say it, I would just say in my little voice, like, I got fuzzy brain, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. And I would just kind of just lie there and be like, I'm just gonna need, just give me time. I just need to come back to earth.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, and that's sometimes it. Sometimes it's just coming out of the, just that crazy, yeah, fuzzy brain is a good way to, I think my thing is afterwards, I'm just like jello. I've got no like muscle yeah. control. I'm just like yeah, yeah. literally a puddle there. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Like, oh, just give me, okay. Yeah, just give me like maybe 5 minutes. And it's just like lazily, like my hand, I just let it flop like on their chest and I just give them a little pat. And I'm yeah. like, this is good. We're good. Just, and I can't move.
And sometimes it's nice to just like just fall asleep and just like, because sometimes, you know, my partner and I've fallen asleep together, or I've fallen asleep and they've been very nice and just laid there while I was sleeping on them, you know, and then I wake up and go, how long have I been asleep for? I'm so sorry. Have you been lying there awake the whole time? And they've been like, it's okay. I understand. It's what you needed. I've just been yeah. like, okay, thanks.
Thank you. You. Know. Right? Right?
Bless no, but you. It's definitely true. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, sometimes that's just all you need. And yeah, and I find my modes are different. Like I said, it's different between individuals, but sometimes it's per session too. Sometimes you just need, and I think a big part of that is sometimes as much as we want to completely remove ourselves from the world and really just enjoy sex and whatever it is going on, sometimes things creep in there. And then after the sex is done, it's kind of like you have to meet them full front. Sometimes,
yeah.
Either that's your insecurities or your problems with this or things you feel that you aren't and stuff like that. And so sometimes it can mm-hmm. be a very vulnerable time.
Yeah.
So that aftercare is super important, even with a long-term partner. You yeah. may not even realize it. So don't be afraid to speak up, you know, and even if you have kind of like your little jam going and you already kind of have what you do with your partner and stuff like that, if there's a way you think it would be a little more, or if you want to try more intense scenes, then just know you may need more intense after cuddles and so on and so forth. And don't be afraid to ask for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's all we really got. I don't think we could say any more about aftercare that wouldn't just be a recircling, as much as it's delightful having you on stuff. I don't want to take any more of your time, and I'm pretty sure the mowers are going to come back soon. So. Well, thank you so much for being on this episode today.
Thank you for having me.
I definitely did. And I know in the future we might have some awesome panels coming up. So I may have you back and have like a nice little voice chat party with four or five of us and just talk about sex and fun stuff and silly, and stuff. Getting silly and stuff. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Most importantly, the stuff.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Keep your eye out for our next episodes. We have more coming. And again, if you ever have a topic idea or a suggestion, or possibly a guest suggestion, or you would like to be a guest yourself, reach out to me. I'm always interested in hearing from new people and wanting to know what you want to talk about, what kinks you get hung up on or you don't know much about, because that's the whole reason I have the show. It's about exploring them together. So why not? I'll do all the homework. I'll bring somebody else on that might know what they're talking about.
Then why did you bring me on? I don't know anything.
yeah. you know. no, I brought you on because I was just like, she's submissive. She knows what aftercare is. She's got this. Oh, man. Well, everybody have a good one. And until next time, keep sex safe. Keep it fun. Keep it interesting. Don't be afraid to explore. And yeah, I'll see you next time. Bye.